yielded and still it is on.
For what you said, you know, we can look at the Bible, we can read the Bible, we can study the Bible, we can do seminars on the Bible, but until we put the Bible into action, it doesn't mean much. So this will help you to hear from God, to understand what He's saying. So this is a big challenge. We're going to be preaching on the Bible for 5 weeks. There are already about 4 home groups, but I want to encourage you today to do something perhaps you've never done before. Something really spontaneous. Because right here, I've got sermon discussion guide. And there's a series of questions here that you can sit down with a little group of people during the week and study a little more in depth the sermon that I'm going to preach today. Maybe you'll do it just in your family. Maybe you'll get some neighbours in. Maybe you'll gather 2 or 3 other families that you know in the church and say, hey, let's just get together for the next 5 weeks and we'll study it. And so from each sermon, each Sunday, we're going to provide a list of questions that will help you talk about that sermon in a little more depth. Then on the front of the bulletin is also a memory verse. My challenge to you is to memorise 5 verses from the Bible over the next 5 weeks. And this week's verse is, what is it? Frank, why don't you read it out for us, mate? Down the bottom right hand corner on the front. Thank you very much. So there's a memory verse. Study with some other people. Come on Sundays and listen and read through the Bible. How's that for a challenge for the next 35 days? I believe that if you're not in the habit of studying the Bible or reading the Bible regularly, if you would make a commitment to do it for 35 days, you're going to be so blessed you'll want to keep doing it for the rest of your life. And that's the prayer, that's my prayer, that's the prayer of the elders, that we will be a people in the Word of God. Now, I've left this thing off, so I better turn it on. Now, the message that I'm going to preach today is very much based on a message preached by Pastor Rick Warren as they, a few weeks ago, launched what they called 40 Days in the Word. And there are actually nearly 5,000 churches around the world doing this. So we've taken some of his stuff. That's a great church. They allow any other church to take their stuff, and we've adapted it. I hope that over the next few days, 35 days, that you will learn to love God's Word, that you will learn God's Word, and that like never before, you'll begin to live God's Word. Who has read the Sermon on the Mount? I guess all of you have. Jesus told a fantastic story at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a story that we used to sing about in Sunday school. The foolish man built his house upon the wise man built his house upon the, and then a big storm came along, and that crazy guy who'd built his house on the sand lost everything. It disappeared. But the man who built his house on the rock, it stood firm. Everyone who hears these words of mine, said Jesus, and puts them into practice is like that wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, I could finish right here, and that's enough incentive from the Lord Jesus to go out and do all these things and get engaged with the Word of God over the next little while. This morning I want to talk about how to build my life on the Bible. And we're looking at James chapter 1. Now, all of us have 5 senses. I hope you've got 5 senses. Some people have, as we get older, some of them diminish a little bit. We have a lovely friend who fell off a horse and was in a coma for 3 months, and she's never been able to smell ever again. Wouldn't that be terrible? I remember just the other day, we walked into somewhere, a shop, and my daughter, who I welcome here this morning, Kirsty, said, Dad, what's that smell remind you of? what sort of a shop was it? It had candles and all that sort of stuff. I said, I don't know. She said, it smells just like Grandma and Grandpa's house used to smell. Now, they've been dead for 15 and 17 years, and it's that long since we've been in that house, but you just get a smell, and it brings back all sorts of memories. Some of them not so good, but mostly a smell can bring back beautiful memories. So we have smell, we see, we smell, we taste, we touch, and we hear. I wonder, would someone volunteer to stand up and maybe come out here and read James chapter 1, 19 to 25? Someone like Doreen. What a volunteer. Let's give her a hand. Bring your own Bible.
Read. Oh.
Well, borrow her Bible. Someone got a Bible they can loan Doreen?
I bring it every day.
James, towards the end of the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 19 to 25.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Doreen.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Great. Thank you very much. Doesn't she read beautifully? It's no wonder she's an actress. So the first thing I want us to... put that away. The first thing I want us to notice in this passage from James is that if I'm going to build my life on the Bible, the first thing I need to do is receive it with my ears. In Romans 10, it says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So I must hear the word of God. And most of you are here every Sunday, and you come to hear the word of God. Some of you listen to it on your MP3s. In James it says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. The word accept is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's the word dekamai, and it's actually a word that has to do with hospitality. It's like receiving a stranger. So how would that apply to the word of God? It means to welcome the word of God. If the word of God's knocking on your door, you go and open the door and say, come in, word of God, I love you. I want you to be part of my life. Welcome the word. It's like an attitude of acceptance. Now, Jesus often compared receiving the word of God to the planting of a seed. Remember that parable? And the seed ended up in thorny ground, it ended up in rocky ground, it ended up in very hard ground, and some of it ended up in really good ground. Now, you know that I'm a bit of a gardener. We've got a few vegetable gardeners here. And about 14 months ago, someone very kindly gave me a big bunch of longans. Those of you from Asia know what that is. You probably call it something else in your country. But it's a little brown ball with a hard shell, and you open the shell and it's got flesh, white flesh, a little bit like a lychee. That's exactly right. Who's been eating lychees? They're great at the moment. Beautiful. And so most of the longan is just a big brown seed. Now, I don't know much about, you know, William would be the one to tell me what to do with the seed, but I just went, as soon as I'd eaten it, I said, oh, they look good. So I got some little pots and I shoved them in, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited a long time, but two of them came up. And today, I've left one of them in a small pot, and it's a little thing about that big, and it really struggles. The other one I replanted into a big pot, and it's already about this high. Now, Helen's really scared, because I told her that long on trees grow to... they're big trees. But I'm going to learn some bonsai. It's okay, darling. So, you know, it depends where we plant the seed as to whether it even comes up or whether it flourishes. So the condition of the soil where the seed is planted is absolutely critical. Oh, I don't get anything from those sermons that Roger preaches. Well, I'm not trying to justify this fella, but when we come to worship every Sunday, let me ask you, how's the soil of your heart? Is it good soil? Is it soil that's willing and able to welcome the Word of God so that that seed, that's not my word but it's God's word, can germinate and grow and flourish? That's why so often the Apostle Paul, even in speaking about the communion service, he says we should examine our hearts. Here in this chapter 1 of James, I would say that for good reception of the Word of God, James says we need to first of all be quiet. He says be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know me well enough, and if I'm talking, you can be sure I'm not listening. And one of the goals of my life, probably till the day I die, is to be a better listener. But we're all the same. If we're talking, we're not listening. And God says, I want you to be quiet. He also says, you need to be calm. It says here, and slow to become angry. Now, it's a fact, isn't it? When I'm angry and I'm upset, I'm emotionally upset, I get in a defensive mode. I'm not really in a receptive mode. So if I'm not calm, I'm not going to receive God's word. You know, I come flying into the car park. I've just told the kids to keep quiet. My wife's a little bit tense, and we come down the steps and we rush in here, and then we, oh God, speak to me today. We need to be calm in order to really hear God's word. James says we need to be clean to hear God's word. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Before we put in some seeds in my garden, I need to do some weeding. So weeding comes before seeding. It's a very, very interesting word here for filth. Reparion is the Greek word that actually means, this is yuck. You ready for this? You know what it means? It means earwax. Yeah, nice. That's exactly what it means. Get rid of all the earwax. Get rid of the sin in your heart that blocks your reception of God's word, is what the Bible is saying. Get rid of evil. We know when we've done something wrong. God's given us a conscience. And James says, deal with that. Take off those filthy clothes. When I'm working in the garden, I came in from doing some work on Tuesday with some men at another location, and I'd been up on top of cool rooms and I was covered in filth, and when I walked in the house, the girls just looked at me and they didn't say anything. They didn't have to. I just went straight to the shower and cleaned up. I was filthy. And before we receive a stranger into the house, we welcome a stranger into the house, we need to clean up our act. Also, in order to have good reception for the word of God, James says we need to be humble. He says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In other words, when God speaks to me, I'm going to be ready to do whatever he tells me to do. All right, the second thing. I've said, I've missed out on all these. Be calm, be quiet, be clean, be humble. Okay, we've heard it with our ears. Now James says, read it with your eyes. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man, listen to this, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, is blessed in what he does. To be blessed in everything he does. It's not just looking one time at the word, but James says, look intently at the word. In other words, as I read it, I reflect on it. That's why on the back of that sheet, I've given you a number of questions. And I'm encouraging you to go and buy a notebook. And each day, put the date for the day and just answer those questions and journal it. In other words, read it, but also think about it at the same time. Now, James says that God's word's like a mirror. Who evaluated themselves before they came to church this morning? I'd say most of you would have looked in a mirror this morning. If I was at the teenage congregation, I'd probably say some of you probably stayed at the mirror longer than some of the rest of us. I wouldn't get into which sex or anything like that, because I actually know some males who love spending a lot of time in front of the mirror. These days I don't stay there long because I assess the damage and move away very quickly. It's not good. Did you hear about the first Queen Elizabeth? What did she do? Does anyone know? As she got older, her good looks disappeared and she banned every mirror from the palace. Remember that? She banned every mirror from the palace. She couldn't bear to look. But James says, I want you to gaze intently at the word. Not just have a quick look and then move on, but I want you to gaze intently at the word. In fact, I didn't read all that, but what I've said here is, you're down the bottom. Get a Bible reading plan. Now, Kathy gave me a beautiful one this week that she brought back from America, where you can read the Old Testament in 1 year, twice the New Testament, the Psalms once, and the Proverbs 12 times in a whole year. That's a fair bit of reading. But look, there is no excuse. Just Google Bible reading plan, and there are hundreds of them out there. The point is, just get one and stick with it. And so that's why I've given you one for 35 days, just to get you started. And once you're off that, maybe you can find something else that'll encourage you to keep reading the Word of God. Let's move on. Another sense. I need to research it with my hands and my mouth. I want to just talk a little bit about the difference between reading and studying. Because Bible study requires us to actually write down what I'm learning and to talk about it with someone else. If you would do those two things, and I'm learning, and I get a lot of opportunity as a pastor, of course, because people are in and out of my office, they're on the phone. And if I'm in the Word that morning and God's touched my heart, many, many times I share that back with other people. And that really solidifies it in my own heart and my own mind. In John chapter 3, verse 39, it says this, You search the Scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life, and the Scriptures point to me. Marianne already made that point this morning, that the Word of God is Jesus Himself. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the people of Berea, who were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, they listened eagerly to Paul's message, but they searched the Scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if what they were really teaching was the truth. I want you all to be Bereans. I encourage you to be Bereans. Don't just believe what I tell you Sunday by Sunday, or SP or Derek or any of the others that preach here. Go home and check it out in the Word of God. And some of you do. And I'm really happy for your emails and for your questions. It's great. It's really great. Okay, another sense. That's supposed to be receive. I revive. I receive and remember it with my mind. James says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, will be blessed in what he does. Continually look at the Word of God. Ponder over it. Think about it. Not forgetting, he says. In other words, memorizing Scripture. It's a wonderful thing to memorize Scripture. I've got that cheap version, eSword, but it's wonderful. And there's a program in there for Scripture memorization. And I go through it every day. If I'm feeling down ever, I go back to my Scripture memory. And I'm only about 3 verses in and God lifts my heart and my spirit again. It's so wonderful. Learn to memorize the Scripture. Okay, let's move on. Meditation. Some evangelical Christians get really nervous when the word meditation is used. What comes to your mind when you think meditation? Transcendental? Yoga? Coming closer to God, that's a positive one. Concentration. Some of the stuff I've read on meditation says, you know, whether you sit in a yoga position or what, that's not the point, but just clear your mind. I want to tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do. Because when your mind is clear, we believe that we're in a warfare. We believe there's God on one side and we have an enemy called Satan on the other. And if we just clear our mind, Satan knows how to fill it. But scriptural and Christian and biblical meditation is meditating on the Word of God. So my mind is filled with His Word. And then I meditate on things that are true, on the truth. Very, very important. Okay, the final one is this. And James says, I need to respond to the Word of God with my actions. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now you may, if you're really smart, you would have noticed that each point of my sermon today, 5 points, every point has a verb in it. What's a verb? A doing word. It's an action word. And I've talked about, let me just go back. What have I said? The first one was, I said, receive with your ears, read with your eyes, research with your hands and mouth, review and remember, and now finally respond with your actions. Let me finish by sharing this scripture with you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then the rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now these are the words of Jesus. Now listen, guys, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, I have no idea what storm is going to hit you this year. But I can guarantee that something's going to come right out of left field and hit all of us. We don't know. And thank God we don't know. But whatever storm is going to come your way this year, let me plead with you this morning, make sure that your life is built on the rock, on the Word of God. Let's be people here at Southside who read the Word of God, who memorize the Word of God, who meditate on the Word of God, who come Sunday by Sunday to hear the Word of God, who get a little group of people together and study the Word together. Amen?
Amen.
Let's build on the rock. Let's pray together. The rock that ever stands. Thank you, Doreen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your precious Word. And this morning, as we have discussed the idea of engaging all of our senses with your Word, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, we know that apart from you, we can't do anything. We are so weak. And there will be issues that will come into our lives this year that are going to really be like storms. Some of them will be cyclones. And we can't do it on our own. But we thank you, Lord, that you are the rock. And you've given us your Word. And I pray that we'll be people who build our house on the rock, on the Lord Jesus himself. And we give you the praise and the glory in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.